Tonight I want to share a message with you that I believe the Lord spoke to me about these things in the week. This is something that just, I don't know, it's been stuck in my mind for a while, and tonight I want to talk about it. I'm going to read for you a scripture. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 13. It says here, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took their lamps and took oil jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were out on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in, and they went with him, and they had the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." I'm sure you've heard this before somewhere. Probably you've read this in the Bible. But tonight I want to talk to you about this because I think this is very, very important. Who can help me out? What is one of the primary functions of a lamp? Remember, the story is about 10 people. They all had lamps. The problem wasn't having a lamp. They all had lamps. The problem was the provision to make the lamp work. Yeah, okay, let's put it to you in a way that you will understand a little bit better, because most of you don't use lamps anymore. You switch a little switch and then the lights come on. And you tend to have it all the time except when it's load shedding, and then you don't have nothing, right? But in any case, it's like having a car, but you don't have petrol. Does a car work without petrol? No. In other words, when you want to use a vehicle, you must make sure that you have sufficient fuel. In the same way, back in the day, they used to use lamps which were oil lamps. And they had to make sure that they had sufficient oil for the lamp not to run out. Because without fuel, it cannot make light. So what is the primary function of a lamp? There we go. The primary function of a lamp is to make light. Oh, I need a volunteer. Who am I going to get to volunteer tonight? Anybody want to volunteer their services? Many. There we go. You didn't volunteer, but somebody sitting next to you volunteered on your behalf. You can sort him out later. Right. This is Manny, and he's a good sport. Oops. Wilson, I need your help. Come stand here. Tonight, I'm not picking on you. Aren't you proud of me? Good for you. So yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're quickly going to see how crucial it is for us to be able to see. I think you better move your baby because he might be in danger just now. Right. The first thing we're going to do is, Manny, I'm going to give you a very simple task. This is not difficult, right? I know that you're not female and you don't multitask, so I'm only going to give you one thing to do. I want you to walk straight down this passage, and then I want you to turn right. Let's see if you can do that. There he goes. He's walking down the passage. He's turning right. There we go. He's got some intelligence. Come back here, son. Now, it was fairly easy because he was able to see where he went. Let's see how easy it is for him if he cannot see where he's going. I want you to blindfold him for me, please. Just make sure that you tie it nicely, and I don't want him to be able to peek. There we go. Can you see? Are you lying? All right, good. All right, we have to just help you out here, but I'm spinning you. This is where we go. Ring a ring a roses. Hush, hush. We all fall. No, we're not going to fall. No, we're not going to fall. All right, so now he doesn't know where he is. Right, you remember that simple command that I gave you just now? I want everybody to be quiet. If you laugh, he's going to know where you are. I want you to duplicate what you did just now. There we go. I want you to notice something. Just now he was very sure of himself. Now, I think in a way he's very unsure of himself. Oh, you just hit an obstacle. There we go. There we go. Oh, you just hit another one. All right. There we go. Actually, to be very honest with you, he's not doing too badly. He's only taken out about 3 people so far. It's not that bad. All right, stop. You can take off the blindfold. Did you notice? He actually did very well. I didn't spin him enough. That was the problem. Yeah, come back here. Let me spin you. No, it's all right. I'm not going to do that to you. Did you notice the difference between the first time that he went and the second time that he went? The first time, he was sure of himself. He was committed. He did what he had to do without any problem, any drama, any hesitation. The second time, it took him forever to go down here, and he pranged into quite a few things on the way down. Why do we need light? Because it makes things easier. Do you understand? The simplest job becomes extremely difficult if you cannot see. Am I right? Is it difficult to change a tire? But can you do it in a complete pitch darkness? No, but can I tell you why? Because you are going to fumble. You are going to drop things. When you drop it, you can't find it again. You try and line up the nuts. You can't do that. It becomes impossible. Simple things become impossible at the absence of light. Now, here's the story. We've got 10 people. All of them have been given a lamp. All of them have a good working order lamp. But 5 of them the Bible calls wise, and 5 of them the Word of God calls foolish, or stupid, if you like. What made them foolish? Not the fact that they did not have a lamp, the fact that they had a lamp, but they never made provision to allow the lamp to work when they needed it. I want to ask you a question. Who of you know that there's always going to be situations in your life when you need God, when nothing else is going to help you? And probably you can think of 1 or 2 situations that you are in right now. Do you have something in your life where you are not capable of doing it yourself? Do you agree with me that it is situations like that when we realize that we really desperately are in need of God? I want you to raise your hands if you can think of a couple of situations in your life where, unless you have supernatural help, you are up a creek without a paddle. You are in deep, deep trouble. There we go. Now, that's where the lamp comes in. Because the Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Any light in your life is going to come from God. And that's what the lamp represents. The lamp represents God, or in a different way, the Holy Spirit, the anointing and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is supernatural. Do you agree with me? And the Holy Spirit, is there anything that He can't do? No. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus walked on water. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. It is by the breath and the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus raised the dead. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest. And when they got there, they were supernaturally, divinely, but totally healed. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus commanded demons to come out, and they left people. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus changed people's lives. Tell me something. What can you do without the Holy Spirit? Look at your neighbor and say, nothing. The power of God that manifests supernaturally always does so by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, let's just quickly think about this. We know that God exists. Do you know that God exists? Do you believe that God exists? Now, let me get you to understand something. It is useless for you to believe that God exists, but you say that the devil is nonsense. Because the one exists just like the other. We need to get saved. Do you agree with me? One of the central themes of the Bible is the fact that man, without Jesus, is not saved, but lost. And through Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit working through Him, we enter into what the Bible calls salvation. Now, I want to ask you this question. If, as some people like to believe, that God exists but the devil is not real, he's a figment of people's imagination, then what do you need to be saved from? If the devil is just an imaginary thing, why do you need salvation? If hell doesn't exist, why do you need salvation? God is real and so is Satan. Now, when Satan works in your life, he works in supernatural ways. You can't see the things working. You don't see demons, but you see their effect. People's lives fall apart. There is constant pain and suffering. There is constant disappointment. Nothing ever works. Sickness, infirmity, pain, trials, tribulations, and nothing ever seems to get better. You don't have to be able to see the demon to know that they are there. You look at the effect of what's happening in the person's life and you can see, oh, this is not normal. You know, you get some people, they've been in 50 accidents. You get another person, they've never been in one. Which one you think's got some ho-ho in their life? The one that keeps going through the same stuff over and over and over again. You get one person, he applies for one job and he gets the job immediately. The other one, for 6 years they've been applying and they never get anywhere. Which one's got some ho-ho working in their life? The one that never seems to get anywhere. One person, he walks to a door, the door opens for him. Another person, he's been stuck by the same door for the last 10, 15 years. Which one's got some ho-ho working? Probably the one that's been stuck for 15 years. Now, here's my question. If Satan is working against somebody, if Satan is working in somebody's life, and he's working clearly in supernatural ways, can you do anything in the natural to stop that? No. That's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You just know that you're in trouble, right? So if he is working in your life or in the life of some individual in supernatural ways to steal, to kill, and to destroy, according to the book of John chapter 10, verse 10, then surely we also have to have something supernatural on our side to help us to overcome and to give us victory. Do you agree with me? The Bible says, if Jesus cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon us. Jesus Christ countered and challenged and took on and conquered Satan in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus had to do it that way, then you and I are foolish and stupid to think that we can do it through positive thinking or meditation or popping another pill. Or smoking another joint. Why are you laughing? You know what I'm talking about. I'm only joking. I know you don't do that anymore, right? Good. No, his mother's, yeah, he's not going to say yes. No, we trust you. You're not doing it. But it's a fact. You know, people are always trying to counter what the evil one is busy doing in natural ways. But I want to tell you something, if that's the way you're trying to make sense of your life or trying to go forward, you're going to go nowhere. Because the power of Satan is supernatural. And the only way to overcome something supernatural is to have something supernatural yourself. And you better make sure that what you got is more powerful than what's coming against you. That's why going to a witch doctor when you've been cursed by somebody else is not going to get you anywhere. Because the power working against you and the power working through you is the same power. It's not stronger. It's not going to do nothing. But when God is in you and God is working through you and the power of God is coming to help you, that supernatural power is stronger. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, for this reason the Son of God was brought to earth that he might destroy the power of the devil. The only way to destroy the power of the devil is through Jesus Christ. Now let's get back to the scripture that we were looking at. The book of Matthew chapter 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay. At that time, the kingdom of God will be like. Now, yes, there's a reference to a certain time. Now, if you read the preceding scriptures, you will find that Jesus is talking about the end of the age. He's talking about the time just before the second coming of Christ. Do you agree with me that we are very close to the second coming of Christ? I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it's going to happen next week or next year. But listen to me. Come on. This is not that difficult to figure out. We are 2,000 years further than when Jesus actually spoke this. So we are close, very close to the time he was talking about. And he says, in the last days, in other words, the kingdom of God will be like this. Right. He's talking to you and me now. He's saying to us that if we live in this time, a time close to the end, a time close to the second coming, then we must be aware that we must always be filled with the anointing of God. We must be wise and not stupid. Now, I said to you just now that one of the primary functions of a lamp is to give light. Have you noticed that we are living in very dark days? Okay, I'm not talking about load shedding, all right? But when you look at the world, give me an idea of what's happening in the world right now. Give me just one thing that's going on. Drugs, prostitution, crime, corruption. I'm so glad you brought that up. We live in South Africa. We know all about that, right? Drugs, prostitution, crime, corruption. Tell me something about young people. Do young people still respect their parents? I know now and then, here and there, in certain households they do. But if you look, do yourself a favor. Who of you has DSTV? Right, now keep your hand up. I want to talk to you about something. What do your children watch? I'm talking about the young ones. Do they like to watch the Disney Channel, Disney XD, and all of that type of stuff? Now I want you, the next time your son or your daughter is sitting watching that stuff, I want you to go and sit there and I want you to watch it with them. And I want you to watch how those little idiots speak to their parents. I'm telling you, it's shocking. And then you wonder why your kids speak to you that way with no respect. Because the way that they do things these days, apparently in the States, it's very funny when a child is blatantly rebellious towards their parents and treat their parents like children. Because everybody laughs and thinks it's so cute and so funny. But you see, the one thing you must understand, God doesn't find it cute and God doesn't find it funny. To God it is rebellion, and rebellion brings darkness into your life. One of the reasons why we need the light right now is because the world is dark. Because the world doesn't believe in morals anymore. You know, in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, even in the 80s, a lot of the things that we see on television, you would never have seen it because the world still, to a certain extent, followed the code set out in the Word of God. Where the Bible says, thou shalt not, the world sort of, yes, we can't do this. This is too much. This is too harsh. Today, anything goes. They don't care. Can I tell you why? Because they've pushed God out. We all know that in most governments, God doesn't count anymore. In the United States, they are not allowed to pray in schools anymore. Even in our country, it's the witch doctor that opens parliament. Prayer doesn't open parliament anymore. Where is God? Well, God still exists, but he's not in our government anymore. And when you see the rubbish that's going on in our government, you know that you know that you know that God isn't there right now because they told him to take a hike. The witch doctor can do more. Why do we need light? Because we are living in dark days. Is it biblical? Well, yeah, you know these scriptures, but let me just quickly take you to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see what it says there. It says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. I actually want to read you the rest. If my Timothy would just expose itself. There we go. Let's look at that again. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says, come on, work with me, yeah? The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits. The latter times. This is the same context in which Jesus was talking when he was talking about the necessity to have a lamp. In the latter times, some will abandon their faith. Now, let's talk about that. Is this talking about Satanists? No. Is this talking about prostitutes? No. Is this talking about Buddhists or atheists? No. Because you see, the fact of the matter is you can't abandon your faith if you did not have faith to start off with. So who is he talking about? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about people that go to church. He's talking about people that are believers, because you can't abandon your faith if you don't have faith. Now, this is a wake-up call to all of us. If you don't watch it, something will start happening in your life that will cause you to abandon your faith. It's biblical. People can abandon the faith. Now, listen to this. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit is speaking. God is prophesying. And God is saying that there will come a time when there will be so much darkness in this world that people will have no problem turning their back on God. And you know what? I see it all the time. I see people come to these meetings and get all excited about God. I see people come to these meetings and get healed and get delivered. But then I see them a year or two or 3 years down the line, and you see them back in the world, partying up a storm, don't give a, you know what? They don't care. The Spirit clearly said that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Here is another wake-up call for us. When something gets taught, even in church, you better make sure that what is taught is right. Because the Bible says demons like to speak and demons like to preach. It's biblical. One of the reasons why some people will abandon the faith is because of the type of teaching that they receive. The type of teaching that they receive is not sound, it's not doctrinal, and it is leading them into error, and it is leading them astray. And that type of teaching is very, very busy right now. You know, there's a lot of teaching out there that never changes anything for people. There are a lot of churches where people go there day after day, Sunday after Sunday, but you never see any change in their life. You want to tell me that's God? Hello? No. Because when the Word of God is spoken in truth, the Bible says the truth will set you free. Hello? If people keep going to church Sunday after Sunday, year after year, but you never see any change, then I'm telling you now, there's a problem there. There is a problem there. And we have to be very careful. You know, there's a type of church that the devil loves. It's the type of church where there's no light. Listen to me carefully. I said to you in the beginning that these women, the wise ones and the foolish ones, both had lamps. Hello? But the one had the provision to make light, and the other one did not have the provision to make light. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Do you agree with me? Right. But the fact of the matter is, some people have the lamp, which is the Word of God, and the ability to make it work. And some people have the lamp, which is also the Word of God, but they don't have the ability to make it work. I'm going to show you where I'm going now. Just bear with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. These teachings come through hypocritical liars. Here's a wake-up call for you again. There are people standing on pulpits every Sunday, but the Bible calls them hypocritical liars. Because what they are preaching is not the truth, but their own opinions and doctrines of demons. You know, today, society and the church don't like to be told what to do. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. People don't like it when somebody says, don't. Who are you to tell me what to do? Do you know that the Word of God has a lot of don'ts? Let's look at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But today, when you tell people that they are not allowed to do certain things, then it's like, oh, but who died and made you the Pope? Who made you my boss? Who are you to judge me? I don't have to judge you. I'm just teaching you the Word of God. And you know what? It's nice to hear the nice things, but you must hear the other things as well. Where sometimes the Bible says do, sometimes the Bible also says don't. And it's no use you get upset and offended when somebody teaches you the word of God and says, listen, yeah, if you do this and this and this, you're going to have problems in your life. Or don't do that and that and that. Come on. You know, it's kind of like the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I can't teach you half the truth and the other half that you don't like. Now I have to be quiet about it. I have to teach you the fullness of the truth. Do you agree with me? If the Bible says the truth will set you free, imagine the truth as a key. Now, you know, if you take a look at your average key, it's got the back part, which is like the round part that allows you to hold it. Then it's got a shaft. And then it's got the front part where there's two or three or four or five prongs that come out that turn the levers and the tumblers inside and allows it to open up. What if I was to take that front part and I file away half of it? But I still give you the key and I still say to you, this is going to open doors for you. When you come to that door and you insert it in the door and you try and turn it, will it work, yes or no? Why not? Because I decided to take half of what's needed and throw it away because apparently it's going to upset you or offend you or give you a hard time. I can't do that. I have to give you the full key and I have to allow that key to unlock the doors for you to go forward. Today God wants to say something to you and I want you to listen to me carefully. You can't choose what you want to receive from the Word of God and choose what you want to spit out. If you want the Word of God to change your life, if you want God to work in your life, you better accept everything. And don't compromise with certain things. And say, oh, well, you know what, this is not that bad and that's not that bad. Because it's going to cause problems for you. Let's go back to the wise and the foolish ladies. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When God looks at you, would you like God to refer to you as wise or foolish? Raise your hands if you want God to refer to you as wise. Then here's what I want you to hear. If you want to be a wise person in God's eyes, you need the lamp and you need the oil. Now, where am I going with this? Do you see my Bible? My Bible is the lamp. Do you have a Bible? Then you have a lamp. Do you know some scriptures? Then you have a lamp. Do you know some scriptures? Then you have a lamp. But that doesn't mean that you have oil. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people out there, they own 3, 4, 5, 10 Bibles, but they got no power. Listen to me carefully. You can own a whole library full of Bibles. You can go and you can quote 50 different scriptures. That doesn't mean that you have oil. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God is the lamp, but the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit is the oil that makes the lamp work. I know you've heard this before, but I have to say it to you again. This written scripture is going to change nothing in your life until the Holy Spirit also comes into your life and provides the oil that illuminates the word and makes the word powerful. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan? Let's take you back. Jesus is in the desert and he's fasting for 40 days. After the 40 days, Satan rocks up. He knows Jesus is weak right now, and that's just exactly how the devil works. When you are weak, he comes and he pounces on you and he tries to take advantage of your weakness. But what he did not realize is while Jesus was fasting, he was also being filled with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the devil rocks up. You know what he says to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus says, listen, yeah, it is written, you will not tempt the Lord your God. What did Jesus use to put the devil in his place? The Word of God, but not just the Word of God coupled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon his life. And immediately Satan stopped that line of attack. But you know what Satan did immediately after that? He saw something. He saw, oh, Jesus used the word and that sort of, that hurt me. Let me use the word to try and hurt him. Do you know what Satan said to him? if you are the Son of God, jump off this cliff. Because it is written that he will command his angels to catch you and you won't even stub your toe. You know, something to that effect. When Jesus used the word, there was power. When Satan used the word, there was nothing. Do you understand? Just because you quote scriptures doesn't mean there's power. Satan quoted scriptures, he had no power. It did not faze Jesus. Do you understand? Now, it's exactly the same. There's a lot of people sitting in churches and they can quote scriptures, but when they try and quote that scripture, the devil just laughs at them because they got no power. Maybe you think I'm being harsh. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. For he, that is God, has made us competent ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What is the letter? Here it is. The letter is just scriptures. Is there power in just every scripture? No. There is power in the scripture when the Holy Spirit works with you and that scripture comes alive. Without the Holy Spirit, the Word of God can kill. Oh, Rion, how can you say that? Well, there's a book called the 6th and 7th Book of Moses. If you have one, you better burn it quick. But in that book, which is a book used in witchcraft, they actually use scriptures as part of the meditation and part of the rituals. You have to say certain scriptures to bring about witchcraft. Did you know that? Well, now you do. Why? Yes, in the Satanic Bible, there's also scriptures upside down. And people involved in Satanism will take scriptures and they will, where we say them forward, they will say them backwards. For those of you that don't know, when they open the Satanic Church, they actually say the Lord's Prayer, but they say it from the back to the front instead of from the front to the back. But they are still using scripture, and that scripture summons demons. I know this is scary stuff, but that's what the Bible is talking about. The letter can kill, but the Spirit will give life. Two different people can quote scripture. One has a religious spirit. The other one has the Spirit of God. Which one will change your life? Well, you see, now there's your problem, because today a lot of churches are full of religious spirits. They like to sound hoity-toity. They like to speak with this authoritative voice. But they got no power. There is no power in religion. There's power in the Spirit of God. You better not be following religion today, because religion is going to get you nowhere. It was religious spirits that crucified Jesus on the cross. It was religious spirits that cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" But were they correct? No. They killed the Word of God, Jesus Christ, because of their religiosity. Getting back to these ladies. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took the oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, who of you believe that God has a purpose for your life? Who of you think that you are living that purpose right now? You're probably on your way there, but you haven't arrived, have you? You might still have a way to go to get to where God wants you to be. Now, here's my question. If you don't have oil in your lamp, how are you going to find your way? You know, if you want to find your way from here to Cape Town, there's a lot of intersections where you can turn right and you can turn left and, you know, you can go up and you can go down. If you don't know the way, or if you can't see the way, how are you going to get there? You can't. It's exactly the same when it comes to your life and my life. There's going to be a lot of circumstances and situations in your life where you suddenly come to a crossroads. Wow, should I go right or should I go left? Should I go up or should I go down? What decision should I make? You know, when you have a lamp that is lighting the way, You can find your way even in this dark world. If you don't, you will not find your way. I want to actually read you another scripture. Just give me a second, yeah. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Let's quickly look at this. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Where was Jesus talking? What was he talking about when he said we need to make sure that we are wise and that we have oil for our lamps? What time was he talking about? He was talking about the end of the age. He was talking about the last days. Now listen to this. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. To me, if you want one thing that sums up this generation, that's it. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now I ask you this question. If you listen to what I just read to you, what the Bible says will classify or signify the end of the age, the last days, are we living in the last days? Right. Now, then we would have to agree that the last days is going to be dark. My friend, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, we are living in dark times. It's darker now than what it has ever been. If it was even remotely this dark in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, those people would have probably repented. What they experienced back then was nothing compared to what we experience right now. And here's the thing. We are living in this time. Now, how do you find your way in the darkness? You better make sure that you have some light. Now, a lot of people pat themselves on the shoulders and they say, well, you know what? I read the Bible. That gives you the lamp. That doesn't give you the oil. You better take it one step further. And you must make preparations to allow the oil of God to come into your life. Because there's a lot of people that's going to stand before God one day and they're going to get this. I don't know you. It's no good you quote some scriptures. It's no good you tell me, yeah, you know what, I went to Bible school. I have shared this before, but I'm going to share it with you again. I had a woman come to my meetings many years ago, and she qualified as a pastor. But when she came for prayer one night and she explained to me what was going on in her life, I listened to all of this stuff and I said to her, wow, you know what, there's some problem here. This is not normal, because she had so many sicknesses and so many infirmities and so many problems going on in her life that was just normal, not normal. And I knew that something supernatural was going on here. I saw it at another occasion. She came to my office and we spoke a bit, and you know, that's when I actually heard that she studied 3 years of Bible school. She passed 3 years of Bible school. Now, here's where the scary part comes in. When I spoke to her about salvation, when I began to confront her with the reality of salvation, she couldn't answer me on the whole concept of salvation. She did not understand what salvation meant. Now, here's my question. How do you go through Bible school for 3 years? And you study all of these scriptures, but you're still not saved. Easy. You got the lamp, but you got no oil. And if you want to know the truth, that's what's wrong with this world today. In Jesus' days, it was 5 wise ones and 5 foolish ones. Today, if he had to give the same parable, there would probably be 1 wise one and 9 foolish ones. Because that's just the way it is. Yeah, but Rion, you must be joking. No, I'm not. I want to ask you a question. Is the church effective today, yes or no? I'm sorry, but I have to say no. Because we have people sitting in churches Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but evil is gaining. Evil is taking over this world. The church is no longer a threat. And the only reason why the church is no longer a threat is because we got no fire. Can I tell you something? The devil is afraid of fire. Because Satan... Yes, I know all about that. Apparently certain churches, and I won't name any names, have come up with this weird theology that Jesus was drunk when he said he was coming back. Apparently he was into wine, and it was the fermented kind. And he used to enjoy too much. And then when he was drunk, he used to say stuff that he didn't really mean. You know what? The Bible says that is blasphemous. And I don't want to be those people when I stand before God one day. But let's get back to the thing at hand. Satan is afraid of fire. Can I tell you why? Because the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And when the fire is in me, then God is working through me. What will ultimately one day be Satan's downfall? Who can help me out? The lake of fire. Don't you tell me that he's not afraid of that, because he is. He might sit there sometimes and laugh at us and give us a hard time, but I tell you one thing, inside he's pooping himself. Because he knows that he knows that he knows that there is something waiting for him, and it's not going to be nice. But if you don't have no fire, the devil doesn't have to be afraid of you. Amen? And the problem is that today we sit with churches, big churches even, so some of them with memberships of thousands upon thousands upon thousands. But let me tell you something, there is no fire in those churches. Because if there was fire in those churches, things would be changing, and nothing changes. You know what? The church is not a bless me club. You don't go to church just to feel good. You go to church to be equipped. In the last days, the Bible says, there's going to be terrible times. The devil's going to be busy. Satan is called the prince of darkness for a reason, because that's what he is. He promotes darkness wherever he goes. And the only way for you to counter darkness is to bring the light. Amen. And if you got no light to bring, then the devil doesn't have to be afraid of you. If we could see in the spirit, I want to say something to you. You would go to many churches and you would see this lady sitting here, that lady sitting there, and the devil sitting there next to them. Like... I'm speaking metaphorically. Don't get upset with me. But it's true. Because without the Holy Spirit, you don't confront the devil. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't challenge him. Without the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, the devil's not going to run away from you. When Jesus walked into churches and he preached the word of God, the Bible says the Spirit of God worked through him, and the Spirit of God worked with him. And because of that anointing, Satan found it very difficult to stay there, because when there is anointing, there is fire. And when there is fire, darkness has to run. If we walk outside here now, if all the lights are off, there's going to be an enormous amount of darkness. But let me tell you something, one match struck in that darkness, even though it's a tiny match, even though it's a Mickey Mouse little match, it's got the power to push away the darkness. Now, let's see how this works. Let's say he's one match. Okay, let's call you a candle. It's better. And she's a candle and he's a candle. You one and you are one. Some of you are big candles and some of you are a bit smaller. It's got nothing to do with your size. It's got to do with what's inside of you. She's a candle. She's a candle. What if we all get together? Suddenly, the darkness gets pushed much further, much further, much further back. And that's exactly what God wants to happen. The only way for us to change things, the only way for us to take back what the evil one has stolen, is for us to start pushing him back. But without fire, you cannot push him back. And if you compromise and you mess around with him, let me tell you something. You're going to say, devil, I rebuke you. And the thing is going to sit there and laugh at you like, oh, who do you think you are? We need fire. And today, that's one of the things that the church doesn't seem to have. We don't have fire anymore. The devil's not afraid. But he should be afraid. Jesus said the following. He said, he was speaking to Peter, and he said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But can I tell you, the church that Jesus was talking about, it's a church that preaches the truth. It's a church that casts out devils. It's a church that heals the sick. It's a church that allows the wind to blow where he wants to. Who's the wind? The Holy Spirit. Oh, let's look at that again. If the wind must blow where he wants to, then who must be in charge? The Holy Spirit. But you see, in most churches, he's not in charge. Because the elders, the deacons, the pastor's wife, somebody else is in charge. But not the Holy Spirit. There are many places where the Holy Spirit is knocking. Tok, tok, tok. Please let me in. No, 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 no. We're busy right now. We're busy doing this. We're busy acting religious. That doesn't impress God. That impresses the devil. Amen? What do we need if we want to put the devil in his place? We need fire. What do we need if we want to get somewhere in the kingdom of God? We need fire. Where does fire come from? Two things are needed. You need the lamp, which you got. Wise and foolish people both have lamps. The difference between the wise and the foolish is the one can make fire and the other one can't. I want to ask you again, what do you want to be, wise or foolish in God's eyes? Wise. Then I want to say something to you. You better get some oil. Because without oil, you are foolish. Without oil, the devil will mess with you instead of you walking over him. The Bible says that Satan is supposed to be under your feet, not you under his. Do you know how many Christians are out there that the devil is walking over them day after day after day? Can I tell you why? Because you got no fire. When was the last time you stepped on a hot coal? Could you stay there for very long? Probably a millisecond or two, and then there you go. It's going to be exactly the same. If you've got a lot of fire in your life, the devil will try and walk over you, but he'll get the message very quick, don't step on me. Amen? Do you want that? But God will give it to you. This is what God wants. God wants us to realize that without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to get very far. Without the Holy Spirit, you've got no vision. I want to read you the scripture. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. For the man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. That's biblical. Even Jesus said, if you try and go somewhere in darkness, you go nowhere. Now I want to ask you a very direct question. If you are looking at your life right now, and for the last couple of years, you can't show that you've made any progress, you've got nowhere, you know, it's like maybe you're walking around in circles, then I want to ask you, what is the problem? The Bible calls it the absence of light. And in the biblical sense, light comes through fire, and fire comes through the Holy Spirit. And there are two things needed. You need scripture, but you also need fuel. The scripture is the lamp. The Holy Spirit is the fuel. And when the two of them work together, you start getting somewhere. I want to say something about this one scripture, about the wise and the foolish people. They were waiting for the bridegroom. What happens when the bridegroom arrives? Help me out. What happens when the bridegroom arrives? Say again? No. You're being too deep now. What happens when the bridegroom arrives? There is a marriage. And a marriage is a joyous occasion. Do you agree with me? A marriage is a joining of two people with a new entity coming into being. Before there was one individual and another individual, now there are two people joined together that before God become one. And then we do what? We have a big party. It's a reason to celebrate. Okay. These people were all waiting for God to rock up and for something big to change, and for the opportunity to celebrate. Is there anybody here today that wants a reason to celebrate? For God to change your situation so that you have a reason to celebrate. Come on, if you want that, just wave at me. Don't just look at me like I'm talking nonsense, wave at me. Okay, so in other words, this church tonight is full of people that say, just like the wise and the foolish woman that were waiting, are we waiting for God to come into our life and change things so that we have a reason to celebrate? But do you notice that the bridegroom took his time? Does that happen to you sometimes? That you're waiting for God, and then he doesn't do it tomorrow when you thought you could maybe have it, and he doesn't do it the day after, and he doesn't do it the day after. I want you to learn something from this. There are times when we haven't done anything wrong. God just takes his time because he's God and he knows why. Sometimes there's things that first need to fall into place. Sometimes there's one or two principles that we don't understand and he wants us to learn. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And sometimes there are things we don't know that God wants to teach us. But when the time is right, please look at your neighbor and say, when the time is right, the bridegroom will arrive. And if you are prepared and if you are ready, you will go in. And you will be witness to change. You will be witness to a covenant. You will be witness to something amazing. And you will be part of the celebration. But in order for you to go in through that door, you better make sure that you got the oil. Because without it, there's no celebrating. Without it, there's no change. Without it, there's no transformation. Some people are waiting for healing. What do you need? You better have some oil. Some of you are waiting for a miracle. What do you need? You better have some oil. Some of you are waiting for a godly breakthrough. What do you need? Well, you better have some oil. Because you see, the thing is, when the door opens and you have the oil, you can go through. When the door opens and you have no oil, you're somewhere probing around in the darkness, finding nowhere to go. And that's the problem. Sometimes God takes his time. But he will always come at the right time. The question is, when he comes and his time is right, will you be the one waiting at the door, ready to go through? Because the church is full of people that have been waiting and waiting and waiting, but they're sitting around in the dark. And when the opportunity comes for them to go through, they can't go. Because they can't see where to go. I want to share with you one scripture that I actually think is important. Psalm 107 verse 10. Some sat in darkness and in the deepest of gloom. They were prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the word of God and they had despised the counsel of the Most High God. Some people are in darkness because they choose to be in darkness. Some people have no oil and they have no light because they choose to be that way. Did you hear what it says? Listen carefully, because maybe this will speak to you. Some sat in darkness and the deepest of gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Do you believe that there have been times in your life that God spoke to you? Now let me ask you this question. When God speaks to you, how do you react? There are two ways that we can react. You know, I want to link this up with something that God spoke about a while ago. I've shared this with you a couple of times. There were two type of builders. One is called a wise builder and one is called a foolish builder. What is the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder? Jesus said, the wise builder is a man who hears my words and does it. The foolish builder is the one who hears my words but does not put it into practice. And this is what the Bible says. Listen here again. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, for they rebelled against the word of God. That has never changed. The world is still full of people that rebel against the word of God. The next time God speaks to you, think carefully what you're going to do. Because the way that you react to the way God, to when God speaks to you, will determine whether you're going to stay in the light or whether you're going to fall into the darkness. And when you fall into the darkness, when the bridegroom comes, when in other words, when the breakthrough comes and God is there to open the door for you to go to where you've been praying for, some of you will go through and some of you won't, because some of you will have light and some of you won't even know the door is opened. If we are all sitting in this hall and we've been locked up, it's dark inside and it's dark outside. We might sit in a situation where we've been stuck here for a week or two or three or four. It's dark in, it's dark out, we don't know. But because we didn't have no light, we didn't see when the door opened. And the door might only be open for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes. But now we're all sitting here, it's dark in, it's dark out, we didn't know. Guess what? The opportunity came, the opportunity went, nobody acted upon it. That's life when you live in darkness. But when you have the light, you immediately see the door open. You know, oh, it's time for me to move. There we go. Who of you are waiting for a breakthrough? Who of you are waiting for an opportunity to celebrate? When do we celebrate? When things fall into place. When things start going well. When we get the breakthrough that we've been waiting for. When good things come to us. What does God want for you? He wants good things to come for you. So what do we need to do? Look at your wife and say, get wise. Look at your neighbor and say, get wise. All right, so what do we mean? Two things. In order to be a wise builder, you must hear the word and you must do it. In order to be a wise person waiting for the breakthrough, oh my word. Did I say something that upset him? I didn't mean that you were wise or foolish. I wasn't talking. Sorry about that, eh? What do you need to be wise? You need the anointing. You need the Holy Spirit to start working in your life, and when He speaks to you, you need to start being obedient. Does that speak to somebody in this place? I really hope so, because listen to me carefully. You're not going to go anywhere if the Holy Spirit is not working in your life. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't have the anointing. Without the oil, the lamp means nothing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you can sit through sermon after sermon after sermon, but you will never get anything from the sermon, because the lamp illuminates the word and brings it to a place that it becomes real to you. And God wants His word to speak to you. If the word doesn't speak to you, it can't change you. The word needs to show you certain things about your life. And when it shows you certain things, the Bible says you better be obedient, otherwise you choose darkness over light. I believe tonight God wants to touch people in a very special way. And He wants anointing to come and fill you. Jesus said, last week we spoke about this, what do you need in order to receive the Holy Spirit from God? Last week we spoke about it. What do you need? Water. But what must you be before the water will come? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So I want to ask you this question, my friend. Are you thirsty tonight? Because the anointing is not for people that like, well, whatever. You know, if He gives it to me, it's fine. And if not, then, you know, it's no skin off my back. You won't get nothing from God. You need to be thirsty. If you can be thirsty tonight, God can bless you. And you need to be thirsty, because without that thirst, you won't receive no oil. And guess what? This thing that you've been praying and fasting for, when God opens that door, you better have your lamp on so that you can see that the door is opened. Otherwise, you can't go through it. You know, this world is full of people that have been praying and fasting for years and years and years, and the door's been opening and closing and opening and closing. But every time it opens, they sit in the darkness, unaware that opportunity has just presented itself. What is the difference between people that go forward and people that don't? It's called vision. And vision comes through light. Light comes through the fire of God. God wants to give us fire. But God can't give you fire if there's nothing inside of you that can help the fire to burn. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that causes the fire of God to burn. And you've got to be thirsty before God will give you that. I want to see the hands of everybody that thinks that they are thirsty tonight. Or no, knows that they are thirsty tonight. Keep your hand up. Now I want to say this to you, and I don't need you to be offended. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Don't raise your hand now. And now when God wants to give it, you're on your way home. Because then you are a hypocrite. If you're raising your hands right now and you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I am thirsty, then you better act upon this. Because the Bible says, when you hear my voice, if you do it, I will bless you. If you don't, the curse will come upon your life. God wants the church to be effective. You are part of the church. God cannot be effective through you if you don't have the power of God inside of you. It's no use you walk into a situation and you quote a scripture, but all you're bringing is the letter, because the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When you quote a scripture, you better make sure that the anointing and the power of God is inside of you, because that will bring life through the scripture. Amen? You know, a lot of people like to speak to their circumstances. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're just speaking a lot of hot air, and hot air can't change nothing. But if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the power of God resides inside of you, that fire of God is there, you can't say to that mountain, get up and throw yourself in the sea. And it has to listen. It's called anointing. And without it, you go nowhere. The anointing of God is the power of God. Through the anointing, Jesus walked on water. Through the anointing, Jesus spoke to the dead, and they had to rise. Through the anointing, Jesus commanded demons to come out, and they left. Through the anointing, Jesus spoke to Peter, and he said, listen, you go catch a fish, there'll be money in the mouth, take it and give it to the temple tax collectors. How scary is that? Yet it happened. Through the anointing, the impossible becomes possible. Through the anointing, sickness and infirmity have to bow their knee before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Through the anointing, curses have to make way for blessing. Without the anointing, you go nowhere. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and he will give you living water. He will give you anointing. Here's my invitation to you tonight. Some of you have been foolish because you've got your lamp, but you've got no fuel to give fire to that lamp. Today you can move from foolishness to wisdom very quickly by coming to God and saying, Lord, I'm thirsty. I realize I've made a mistake. It's not just about knowing the Bible. It's about having the Holy Spirit in charge of my life. It's about submitting to Him and allowing Him to be my teacher, allowing Him to be my guide, allowing Him to direct my footsteps and my path. If you want to move from stupidity to wisdom tonight, it's not that difficult. If you humble yourself before God and you come with an expectant heart and you come to God with a thirst, you will be given as much living water as you need. If you want one glass, you'll get one glass. If you want the whole dam, you can have it. The Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. How much do you want? Do you want the whole dam? You got a big bladder, don't you? No, yes, you do. But you can have it. I'm making an invitation. Tonight the Lord is going to bestow upon us the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God gets excited when we preach about these things, because this is what changes people's lives. You know, too many people, they take the Bible and they bash people over the head with it and wada, 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 but there's no anointing to bring conviction and to bring change. But when the Holy Spirit works with us, everything becomes easy. Jesus changed lives through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, He was the Son of God, but until the Holy Spirit came upon His life, He did nothing. Jesus was, in a sense, stuck until that day when God opened the heavens and allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon Him and the anointing filled Him. Some of you are stuck because of a lack of anointing. Some of you can't move because you've got no fuel to propel you forward. It'll change tonight if you come forward with an expectant heart. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, give the Lord a big hand.